Hi, Matt here. Before we get started, I'm excited to share that our October newsletter is now available. Learn about 5 common communication mistakes people make, and most importantly, how to fix them. Plus, hear about ways to get involved in something exciting that we're working on to transform your communication skills and career. Find our newsletter at Think Fast, Talk Smart on LinkedIn or under resources at fastersmarter.io. Now, a word from one of our sponsors. Their support allows us to bring you quality content free of charge. I have always been amazed by and a bit jealous of my friends, colleagues, and students who can speak multiple languages. I regret that I did not keep up my foreign language that I learned in school. I'm happy to say that I am now working on this. To help me, I use the Babbel app. Babbel provides me with quick lessons, just 10 to 15 minutes per day. And since Babbel is built with science-backed cognitive tools that fit with all learning styles, it helps me stay motivated with real-time feedback, handy visualizations, and progress trackers. I'm learning and having fun. Babbel is offering a special deal for Think Fast, Talk Smart listeners, so you can get started right now. Visit babbel.com/thinkfast and get up to 55% off your Babbel subscription. That's babbel.com/thinkfast. To start your language learning today. Writing a story without thinking about your audience first is like writing a love letter and addressing it to whom it may concern. Ken Hamer, who originated that quote, is right on. If we don't know our audiences, we can't connect our story to them. We can't make it engaging. A story will fall flat if it doesn't have a targeted audience. My name is Matt Abrahams, and I teach strategic communication at Stanford Graduate School of Business. Welcome to Think Fast, Talk Smart, the podcast. I am so excited to be back for our second episode in our unconventional, non-traditional storyteller series. In our first episode, we talked about how we need to structure and frame our content to really make it clear and concise for our audience. We talked to a trial lawyer and a cartoonist. Today, we're going to look at how to make our stories engaging and compelling. Now we're going to take a quick break for a message from our sponsors. Their support helps us bring you our show. Think Fast, Talk Smart is brought to you by BetterHelp. October 10th is World Mental Health Day. Fall can be a stressful time of year. I know that I often feel rushed and out of sorts. Getting some guidance and advice can really help. I believe we all can benefit from therapy. That's where BetterHelp comes in. BetterHelp helps you find a therapist to meet your needs. You complete a short questionnaire about your needs and preferences, and then BetterHelp uses their 12-plus years of experience in industry-leading match fulfillment to find you a therapist. If you aren't happy with your match, switch to a different therapist at any time from their tailored recommendations. This World Mental Health Day, BetterHelp is celebrating the therapists who've helped millions of people take a step forward. If you're ready to find the right therapist for you, BetterHelp can help you start that journey. Our listeners get 10% off their first month at betterhelp.com/thinkfast. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/thinkfast. Hi, Matt here. Happiness is a skill you can learn. So why not try to master it? Each week on the 10% Happier podcast, veteran journalist and best-selling author Dan Harris chats with top scientists, meditation experts, and even the occasional celebrity in wide-ranging conversations that explore topics like productivity, anxiety, enlightenment, and relationships. You recently heard Dan on Think Fast, Talk Smart share some great tips to help you. Join Dan every week for a dose of ancient wisdom, modern science, and a little humor to help you feel better, do better, and be better. The 10% Happier Podcast. Listen now wherever you get your podcasts. Our first conversation in today's episode is with Alex Moffat. He's a magician from the UK who's currently living in Sydney, and he's been performing magic since he was 7 years old. Let's listen in to hear what tricks he pulls out of his hat to help us all be better storytellers.
So in magic, there's a couple of ways magicians go. You can have a linear route or a non-linear route. And a linear route would just be like, pick a card, put it back in the pack, shuffle it. Ta-da, I found it, you know, and that might be baffling. It might be interesting. It might be, how did you do that? But it's not necessarily entertaining. There isn't really a story to it. Alternatively, the non-linear route, which involves the misdirection, attention focus, etc., and emotion is where I might go, hey, Matt, what's your favorite card? And you name it. Hey, would you take that out and draw a picture on it? Sign your name on it. It's yours now. There's one in the world that exists like this. And then 5 or 6 different effects happen. But then rather than just go, ta-da, it then multiplies into 3 of them, which is impossible because you only created one. Then they all instantly disappear. And then I throw and spring the cards at the window in the restaurant or hotel, wherever we are, person's house. The cards cascade to the floor. And one card was left stuck to the window with the back facing everyone. I ask the person to go up and get it. They go up and get it, but they can't take it off the window because they realize it's on the other side of the glass, outside the building. They have to run out, go and get it. As they peel it off the window, they wave at all their friends, and then they come running back in to a round of applause. Of course, that's their signed card. And that has meaning. It's a journey. The card went on a journey, but there's connection to it with the person, their favorite. They created a piece of art on it, theirs, and then magical things happen. And of course, an impossible ending that's memorable. Just go straight to the point where there's no story, or you can go off on these tangents and journeys and make it meaningful and connect it to them. One that I've recently performed for the very first time in recent keynotes is the rubber hand illusion. So it's an example on neuroplasticity and how easy it is to rewire the brain very quickly. So I get a volunteer on stage, I've got this rubber hand, and I have this little box that they put their real hand under, the rubber hand on top, and I simultaneously with a paintbrush just stroke their real hand underneath the box that they can't see and the same finger of the rubber hand that they can see. And almost instantly, the brain starts to cause that rubber hand to be associated as their own. My problem was that there's only one person on stage experiencing it and feeling it. So how can I get the audience to not sit there bored going, oh, well, they're enjoying this and we're just sat watching. They've got to be able to feel it too. So I've moved into things where I ask them if they feel like they could raise their finger, would it raise on a rubber hand? And they go, it does feel like I could move this hand. And then I ask them to just move their left index finger, and then the rubber hand index finger moves up by itself as they are doing it. And so that freaks them out, but freaks the audience out, of course, because it's this loose rubber hand that I've shown.
Alex is a true master of engagement. To me, engagement is all about sustaining people's attention. Attention is the most precious commodity we have in the world today. And if you can keep that attention, you have somebody engaged. And as a magician, it's all about managing attention. And you can hear the level of detail and thought that Alex puts into it. And he leverages story to help his audience focus their attention and be engaged. There are many ways to engage an audience. You can engage an audience through description, vivid description. You can engage an audience by playing with their curiosity and surprise, and certainly Alex does both. You can also leverage physicality. If you see a magician on stage, there's movement. He's moving around. He's asking you to watch things, so that physicality gets you engaged. There's the language you use. Is it inclusive? Using the word you, us, or we. Getting people to envision things in their mind, as Alex often does, through asking questions. These are powerful tools to help your audience get engaged. Now, we don't have to be a performer on a stage. We can leverage these tools in a meeting. We can leverage the storytelling best practices in our everyday conversation. Bringing your audience into that moment, helping them see it, feel it, that's what gets engagement. It's also critical when engaging our audience to make sure that we are efficient with people's time. And we have to be clear and concise. And that's where our conversation with Kudzi Chukwumbo, who's the head of creator marketing at TikTok and an influencer who goes by the name Sir Candleman, where he focuses on fragrance and beauty.
In a world of short form video, which, you know, where TikTok started, you can actually upload longer videos on TikTok as well, over a minute and more. But I still find what keeps people engaged in the story, whether it's 15 seconds, 30 seconds, 1 minute, 5 minute, 10 minute plus, is the same thing. You need to make every second count, which used to be the old TikTok lingo and motto. Now it's inspire creativity and bring joy. But in 15 seconds, that same hero's journey applies to 10 minutes. Meaning, in 15 seconds, what people want to know is, what is this video about? What is the problem? Why are you the person to tell me? And how can you help me? Find the perfect fragrance for when you are out on the town and trying to find a boyfriend. And I'm Sir Candleman, your fragrance curator. They know I'm the expert. I'm going to tell them this thing. These are three fragrances. Buy this one because XYZ. I can do that in 30 seconds, but I can also give you a deep dive of fragrance for an hour. Same applies to marketers. You can do the 15 second, 30 second cut, 60 second ad spot, which should effectively help people understand like what your product or service is and why they should engage with it. Or you can do the big brand story documentary, big creative exercise, which should still do the same thing. So in all of those things, back to make every second count, no part of that video, whether 15 seconds or 15 minutes, should be wasted time.
I'm wondering if you can just summarize for us, what are the key ingredients from your perspective of a good story?
I would say a good story has a strong hook or reason to be listened to or heard. I think it has a strong entry point for the listener, the viewer, the reader to find themselves in the story. It has enough conflict or a challenge that they're trying to solve, so a problem for this person. And then it has a clear arc and resolution where you help them achieve the thing you promised in the beginning or refer them on to someone else. So especially in short form video land, to make this example concrete, or social media, wherever people are posting, when people come across your post or video, why must I stop? Like, what is there that's making me stop? To who are you and how do I relate to you? Meaning then I want to watch and learn more. And three, how are you helping me solve whatever it is that I came to you for, or entertain me, inspire me, inform me? And then three, do I actually get to that resolution? So those are the key parts. You can do them fast, you can do them slow. And I would say for people looking for a bonus tip, especially in a world where there's so much content online and you want to shine through, you need to have personality. And people would be like, what does that mean? It means you just need to be your authentic self. By that, I mean like truly be passionate and truly speak in the way you speak, in the way that other people don't speak. It's okay to show yourself in the way that other people don't see, because that's how you cut through so much of the same content. Otherwise, you're just another video in a deluge of videos.
The other thing that Kudzi does, and I have a little insight as a former student of mine, he is amazingly authentic. He is who he is, regardless of if he's in his role as the head of creator marketing at TikTok or if he's in the role of Sir Candleman. He is who he is, and authenticity is really important. We connect with people we see as real, not people who are putting on pretense or hiding behind something. So it's not just the story you tell, it's the authenticity you bring to the story. And that's true in any kind of messaging. If you are trying to be persuasive, if you're trying to be inspirational, being authentic really, truly can help. And that's that in and of itself is the definition of engagement. He's got the attention, and we see in his stories and his information ourselves. And that's really a powerful way of engaging. Another powerful way of engaging is to really focus in on how you deliver the message you deliver. And no one is better at focusing on delivery and timing than stand-up comedians. Our final conversation is with Orlando Leyba, who is a stand-up comedian. He has performed multiple times on The Tonight Show with Jimmy Fallon. And he's not only funny, but he actually tells stories that matter and finds the humor in them. And he does so in a very descriptive way that really pulls us in. Let's hear a story that Orlando tells that's not only funny, but educational.
The story goes, I'm on the road. I fly home to visit my mother. I grew up in South Florida, a tropical place. Some people feel like they need to have a passport when they're in South Florida. I decide to drive around the old neighborhoods. I borrow my mother's car, and I get pulled over by the cops. Nothing new, that happens. You know, what was strange about this cop was that it was a bicycle cop.
Right.
And I didn't know they could do that. I didn't know they could pull carts over. I thought they were strictly sidewalk action. Right. Maybe someone's getting away by the mall, and I didn't know they could do that. He knocked on my window, scared the bejesus out of me,
right.
And he yelled at me, pull it over. He had a little light. He had a little light, so I pulled it over.
Right.
When I pulled over, he finally pulls up next to me. I rolled down my window. He had the typical cop talk. He was talking the cop talk.
Right.
And he was like, do you do you know how fast you were going? And I was like, clearly not fast enough. And that's the beginning of that story. He did not like that. He put down his little kickstand and he got off that bike. What did you say to me? And that's part of that's the beginning of a very long journey with that bicycle cop.
And it goes on and it's very funny. But one of the things that I respect so much about your work is you keep a very positive energy. How much of that is a conscious choice for you to be positive? And how does that impact the stories you tell?
You know, I don't want to say the place, but I was in a place where they grow a lot of corn. And all the audiences were good, except one show. Two young men, and they're farmers, and their energy was, our girlfriends or fiancés dragged us here to see you. They find you funny. I don't think you're funny. And it took me a solid 20 minutes to get them on my side, to get them to uncross their arms, release, lower the testosterone level.
Right.
Because they were younger guys also.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't mean.
Right.
They were doing pistol hand gestures.
Oh, wow.
I'm talking about how I defend myself with pepper spray.
Yes, yes.
Because it's non-lethal. Right. Everybody gets to go home. You're going to have to rinse your eyes out for 2 to 3 hours, but everybody goes home.
Right.
And they're like.
Yeah.
He's like, not me. You know, he's doing hand gestures. And one of them was like, not me. And he does a hand gesture like, I just use my weapon.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, yeah, that's you got to live with that. Right. I told him.
Yeah.
You're saying that, but it's like, have you ever, and I asked, have you ever been put in a situation where you've had to use?
Right.
He's like, no. Nah. Yeah. I said, I know cops.
Right.
I know cops that have had to. They have quit the force because of the mental trauma of it.
Right.
You know, and they're just supposedly defending their lives at the time, you know. I was like, nah.
Yeah. It strikes me. I find this fascinating. You know, you're a performer.
Yes.
And yet it sounds to me like you're doing more than performing there. You're actually trying to connect and maybe even teach a lesson in it
too. Now, I don't say teaching a lesson.
Okay.
That's for everybody's journey.
Yeah.
I just one of the things that I feel is going to get me to where I want to go with this career is the fact that be present.
Yeah.
Be present.
And respond to what's happening.
Yes. I'm not just I'm not just staying quiet while you talk, waiting for me just so I could just say what I want to say. I want to listen.
Right.
You know? That's why I'm able. I think you might have seen it there. I'm able to get off the whole joke, address a situation that's happening in real time, and then come back and put the train right back on the tracks.
We talk about storytelling, and we've talked a lot in this episode and the one prior about story, but it's also about the telling. And I think he is a great example of how you have a strong presence, and even talks about it, how he has to be present and listen and in the moment, because his audience is not just responding to him, he's responding to them. That's what true engagement is. It's where both parties are equally involved. He varies his voice. He slows his pace. He speeds it up. When you see him perform live, which I have, he uses his body in terms of his gesturing. The actual telling, the way he shows, is critical. So that nonverbal presence really matters. And I think this brings us full circle. We've talked about story. In our first episode, we talked about how we frame the story, how we think about our audience, how we think about emotion. And in the second episode, we've talked about how we actually engage in the tools of engagement. We've talked about it through the eyes of a cartoonist, a magician, a social media influencer, as well as a comedian. And they're all teaching us that by engaging the audience, being present, we form a connection. That connection has a physiological root to it. There are neurochemicals released, but there's also an emotional connection. And I really appreciate these learnings. And I think we can apply them all to our everyday communication. As we wrap up this two-part Think Fast, Talk Smart series on unconventional, non-traditional storytellers, one of the things I hope everyone is taking away is that stories are hidden in plain sight. You've heard from several non-traditional storytellers. There are many that we encounter every day. I challenge all of us to look for the stories. Look for the means by which people are telling those stories. How are they structuring them? How are they engaging us? Learn from those and begin to use those techniques in your own authentic way, in your communication, in your storytelling. And in so doing, we will all become more efficient, more effective, and more engaging in our communication. Thank you for listening to this Think Fast, Talk Smart mini-series. This episode was produced by Jim Colgan, Jenny Luna, and me, Matt Abrahams. Mix engineering by Mumble Media. Special thanks to Don Frazier of the Stanford Storytelling Project. If you enjoyed this episode and want to learn more about storytelling, please check out episode 168 with Matthew Dix and episode 50 with Paula Moya. You can hear complete episodes with some of our guests in this mini-series through our premium offering at fastersmarter.io/premium. Find more of our episodes on YouTube or wherever you get your podcasts. And check out fastersmarter.io for deep dive videos, English language learning content, and our newsletter. I wanted to share with you that over the past few months, I've had the amazing opportunity of talking to listeners across the globe about the impact the podcast has had on them. I love learning how people are applying the principles and concepts that we cover on the podcast and the impact that it has had on their lives. It is truly inspiring. Speaking on behalf of all of us that bring you the show, we thank you for your support. We look forward to bringing you new episodes, new techniques, and deeper knowledge. And we ask for your support. It takes time and effort to put this show on the air. Please keep your ideas coming. And if you can, we'd love for you to join our premium. Thank you, and here's to another 200 episodes.